Star Wars Action News presents Republic Forces Radio Network, bringing you coverage of Star Wars, The Clone Wars. Our hosts will review the toys, books, comics, games, and all things related to the Clone Wars animated series. And after each new episode airs on Cartoon Network, our hosts will recap and review the show. And we want to hear your thoughts on The Clone Wars. Call us at 415-508-JEDI every Saturday after a new episode, and your call may be played on the air.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Republic Forces Radio Network, discussing all things Clone Wars. And we're back again to discuss this week's episode, Mercy Mission. And joining me, and it's kind of fitting that the group that's joining me tonight, because we were all together 2 years ago for the Droids episodes. So joining me tonight is Jen.
Hey, guys. We're in trouble again.
Ah, that we are. Jerry.
Don't act so surprised, Dan. You weren't watching any Mercy Mission. This was a pile of poo. Like that from New Hope, Mercy Mission. That's why I thought of immediately. I thought there were more ties to it, but Mercy Mission, my foot.
Also joining us is Nathan P. Butler, who was in for the Droids debacle.
So the mission was not to make us say Mercy?
I think that's pretty much the mission of the Clone Wars now, isn't it? To make us say mercy, Uncle. Dear God, make it stop.
Shoot me now. That came to mind a few times.
Now, you're being too negative.
I'm sorry for that. You know, I'm reminded of one of the first few lines in Serenity, the Firefly movie, when he's talking about the ship crashing and it's the landing's going to get interesting and Nathan Fillion says, define interesting, and Wash says, oh God, we're going to die. Yep. That's kind of the point I think we're at, really. It's sad that 4-5 episodes in to a fresh season that we're already thinking that. We should be at like episode 15 and on our 6th Senate.
Well, you know, we could take that Serenity angle even further, going back to what Nathan Fillion's character of Mal Reynolds says, which is... my ship don't crash. If it crashes, you crashed her, which I can imagine is what either Filoni or Lucas, one of the two, is saying to the other one during some of the writing room sessions this season. Yeah. My show don't crash. If it crashes, you crashed her.
All right. Well, I think it's pretty obvious that we aren't all really big fans of where this season's going. But this episode, was it really all that bad? I mean, it was a fun Droids episode. Is it more the fact that it was immediately after 4 episodes of Gungans and other swimmy things that we don't really care about?
You hit the nail on the head, Dan. I mean, the interactions with R2 and C-3PO, especially with the clones, is actually always fun. But that is a background, secondary, ha-ha, look at those droids that we all know and love. That's not the focus of a show. I don't even know how this ranks among the 85 Droids shows, let alone the Clone Wars, which is supposed to be such as this epic bridging of the gap between episodes 2 and 3. I mean, I don't know how this tied into the Clone Wars per se, other than this, I guess this was a Republic planet they're trying to be friendly to and help out with relief, but
I actually was really on board with this episode at the beginning, and I really like the clones. I love Commander Wolf. Like, he's really much more hard than some of the other clone commanders. And I love is that a bionic eye that he has, or is that just like a scarred out eye? I really liked him. He was fun. And I liked the clones kind of ragging on 3PO and R2. And I felt like that was fine. And if we had kept the clones around, I think I would have been okay with this more. But then when it kind of veered off and R2 and 3PO went off on their own, I really rapidly started losing interest. And by the time we were underground, like, I was, ugh. It didn't feel like Star Wars anymore. It was like some other show, and 3PO and R2 were wandering around and it lost, trying to get back.
They're the special guest stars to somebody else's show.
About Commander Wolf, before Nathan jumps in, as I know he will, did anybody expect him maybe to pull out a case and have another couple eyes in there? You know, one with a smiley face, one with
That's not a last action hero.
There we go. Yes, it is.
Oh, my goodness, dude.
I don't know, this season, I mean, I guess I really haven't expressed thoughts on the season as a whole so far because I wasn't on the first story arc here, but the first story arc really didn't do anything for me. I mean, it wasn't bad, it wasn't good, it was just sort of blah, it was just sort of there. And then we get the episode last week with Grievous being taken down by the Gungans, and there were some serious logical issues I had with the episode, but it was a fun episode. At least the first time watching, I was like, yeah, that was actually pretty cool. I mean, I'm shaking my head at points, but it was pretty cool. I think that's the same thing with this episode. It's not a bad episode. It just sort of feels like it's there. That's sort of what this season feels like. It's just kind of, oh, look, it's on the air. Nothing to get thrilled about. It's just there. I mean, it had some good points to it. It had its amusing moments. It's nice to be able to see C-3PO and R2-D2 actually get something to do where they're not just playing the servants of someone else. They actually have a storyline to themselves. The storyline was pretty weak overall and pretty simplistic, but still at least it gave them something to do. And I got to take the opposite side here. If there is one thing in this entire episode that I absolutely hated to the point where I may not watch this episode again with the exception of rewatching it to put it on the Star Wars Timeline Gold, it was Commander Wolf. Having seen him previously in stuff, including comics, including this series, he's a douchebag. He's a jerk. I cannot stand him. It's like they took his character and made him the absolute biggest prick you possibly could for this episode. Every time he spoke, I wanted to kick his ass. I could not stand Commander Wolf.
What are you talking about? I thought he was a perfect portrayal of a clone commander, veteran, war clone, whatever, that's on this like terrible mission. I'm stuck with these droids and I gotta do relief. Come on, I'm a fighter. Can't you solve? I thought his mood was appropriate.
It's okay, then Yoda got it wrong. It's not he left out the corollary. It's not wars not make one great. The corollary must be wars make one a complete jerk. Because this character is not a likable character. Let me put it this way, if it was him versus a bunch of battle droids, I'd be rooting for the battle droids to take him out. I could not stand his portrayal because he doesn't fit the way we've seen most of the clones throughout. Yes, we've seen them battle hardened. Yes, we've seen them go through tough times. Yes, we've seen them come out harder than others might be in the circumstances, especially, say, the Jedi. But Wolf just comes off as, it's like every word out of his mouth is calculated to be a jerk one way or the other. It's like he's got a bug up his butt, and maybe it was from Felucia. He just can't seem to get past it, whatever it is. Kind of the way, I guess, now I feel about Wolf. I hope we never see Wolf again in this series unless we see him to die, because he really rubbed me that wrongly for this episode. Otherwise, I would have had a lot of fun with it, even with the goofiness underground.
Man, Nathan, you're crazy. I can't believe that jumps out at you with all the other oddball stuff in here. I just think it was a perfect portrayal. I don't know who he was being a jerk to. I mean, I think we kind of feel that because we know R2 and 3PO, but you know, to him, they're appliances, and it was just like, man, this is just not what I'm supposed to be doing. I've got a war to fight. I got a war to win. And these people have earthquakes. Send in the Jedi life squad. I don't know. But I mean, it's just that didn't jump out to me at all. I think it was just kind of cool seeing them, looking at the armor and the colors and all that cool stuff. A complete waste. It'd been more fun if there were some actual, you know, separatist presence on the planet that was causing some of this thing. The earthquakes, the tremors, or what have you, that they had to go take out, maybe while R2 and 3PO were having their fun, goofy little adventure.
See, I can buy the whole they're like appliances thing, but at the same time, I don't walk around my apartment, and like when I go and change up my laundry, I don't cuss out my dryer. When my alarm goes off in the morning, I don't wake up and say, yeah, yeah, F you too, Mr. Bell Ringer. I don't know if they're trying to make him more difficult to deal with, for lack of a better term, because they want to give him a personality that differentiates himself from the others, just like sort of Rex gets to be the more fatherly figure type for Ahsoka from time to time, or the big brother figure for Ahsoka from time to time, so that differentiates him from the other clones. Maybe they want to go the opposite direction with Wolf and send him further into the darker characterization for the clones. But from the standpoint of an episode that's basically goofy fun, and, you know, oh, look, it's the cute little planet. Oh, it's going to be another one of those planets. All these cutesy little things to it, this almost mystical Ewoks or droids cartoon series or even Ewok telemovie type of feel to the episode. And then to have him in there, I mean, it just doesn't seem to work in a lot of ways. You know, let's drop Oscar the Grouch into the middle of Ewoks. It just doesn't work.
See, I thought it was perfect that he was in the middle of this floofy, goofy episode, because it's like, you ever like get dragged to like some person's like little kiddie party and all the kids are like doing something stupid and you're just like, I want out of here. And like, I feel like that's what Wolf was doing. Is he would rather be anywhere but this planet, and he was just not happy the entire time. And I thought it was hilarious because he was just so miserable and grouchy and barking at everyone. I loved it. I felt like that was like the best entertainment in the episode. I really like him. I kind of hope he comes back.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Jen. I could see why Wolf was grumpy and why he kind of fit and why that made sense for him to be there, because if he had been a hold your hand kind of Clone Commander, then it wouldn't have gone quite the way it went with R2 and C-3PO getting to do their own little thing and having this little droidish episode. And that's kind of what they were going for. But Nathan, to go back to something you said, this is something that really bothered me about this episode. You comment on how Wolf was treating R2 and 3PO like appliances. And they are kind of like appliances. Apparently, they're the only appliances of their type in the freaking galaxy, because they need a translator droid, so they borrow Senator Amidala's to fly across the galaxy with. They don't have a few of these on every starship, you know, just in case. I mean, Jerry brought up his GPS. He's yelled at it from time to time. I mean, Jerry doesn't have the only GPS in the United States. We don't all have to share the same GPS. Why is there only C-3PO that can do this? Why is there only R2-D2 that can do this?
Continuity. Because you need to have a moment when R2-D2 and C-3PO are out of the home so that Padme and Anakin can conceive the twins.
Dan, that whole thing certainly went through my mind, too. That's Anakin's astromech droid, right? So why is it in anywhere near Commander Wolf, right? So, but that's just one that you obviously, you know, dust under the rug. It's like, well, these are the Star Wars droids. If you had K-3PO and R2-95 that nobody cares about, then this episode would have been completely irrelevant.
It actually kind of makes me wonder if perhaps I'm at least leaning in the right direction with why they made Wolf so difficult compared to, say, Rex going in the opposite direction, because in theory, it would have made much more sense if it's going to be C-3PO and R2-D2, at least make it Rex leading members of the 501st down onto the planet instead of it being Commander Wolf. But then Rex would not have acted towards the droids the way that Wolf did. So I mean, maybe that is a purposeful hardening of the character. We've used that term several times. And that's why you couldn't use someone like a Rex to pull that type of mission.
I think we've hit it. I think that's it. That's why we have all these different ingredients together in this episode, because that's how it had to fall for it to work. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't link with anything else that we've seen in previous episodes as far as who runs with who, who's hanging around with who. There's no rhyme or reason for it except for this is how it had to work for this episode to go down like it did, and they had to have this episode, apparently.
These episodes, because remember, there's going to be more than one in this droids arc here.
Well, then, since we know something's going to happen where a ship is exploding and R2 and 3PO end up in a Y, maybe Wolf's going to pay for his sins, or at least his treatment of the droids.
That, or maybe it's him that does it and he just had too much of them.
That may entirely be it, too. We've established that our group of clones and our droids are there on a lean because they're having earthquakes. And of course, a cruiser full of soldiers is the logical thing to send, but that's all right. That's fine. They touch down, and in the process of trying to repair things, and R2-D2 and 3PO are shown the giant magical manhole cover fall down the hole into the interior of the planet, where R2-D2 and C-3PO meet the Kundalu, who tell them that the air from the surface world is killing all of them, and that's why they're making the earthquakes. And our C-3PO tells them that your earthquakes are killing all of them up there. And they say, go see Orphanae, or Orphanae, however you say her name.
These things creeped me out, more so than just about anything in Star Wars, with the exception of the weird Twizzler sausage link gristle things that made up dirge way back in the Genndy Tartakovsky series. These guys creeped me out, and I think it's because of the way they were animated, sort of stilted compared to anything else around them. Were these guys creepy to anybody else?
I loved them. I thought they were the coolest thing. They reminded me of the Ents in Lord of the Rings. I didn't get the Tabid. My husband thought they was immediately like Tomb of the Primes from Transformers 2, but I thought they looked like tree people, and I thought they were really cool. I don't know. They didn't creep me out at all.
I'm with Tabid. I was totally thinking the Fallen from Transformers or Bionicles, either one. And I think most people said that those two things were similar anyway.
Yeah, I was getting a very mixed. They looked like Ents, but they kind of looked like robotic Ents that had the glow-in-the-dark highlights like Tron has. So, very interesting character design going on there.
We've had tree people before. I mean, there's about five or six different plant-based life forms that we see in elsewhere in the EU. We even just had the Star Crusher trap, which was this Clone Wars Digest comic that had Anakin visiting very briefly a world of plant people. And of course, we have the Nedi from Merkur, like Ode Benar and Tra-Saa, who of course were back in Tales of the Jedi and Republic and eventually later on far into the future with Legacy. So we've seen plant people before, but it's usually seen in comic book form. So we don't get to see them move. And I wonder if they all move as creepy as these guys did, because these guys, I mean, it was almost like a nightmarish type of thing. I understand the idea this is an underworld type area, but a very nightmarish, creepy movement to them, the way that they were put together, where it's like their shoulders are kind of attached, but not really and everything. To me, they were about the creepiest freaking thing we'd ever seen in Star Wars. And I was not expecting that in an episode that's quite as cutesy and goofy as it seems like, you know, with, you know, up above, they're like, all the time. And then here we go down below, and it's like, whoa, freaky thing that might kill you with its limbs.
So we leave the creepy tree things, and we go to see, Orphne.
It's the riddle of the Sphinx, except, of course, it's done as a different type of riddle, but it's the same type of concept. You know, you have your gatekeeper to the knowledge providing you with the riddle once you figure out the riddle. That'll allow you to pass and do whatever it is that you need to do to save the day. I was just hoping that at some point the dudes up top, little cutesy creatures, I was hoping that at some point they would start doing the Ewoks thing, going, oh, and then they would have to find a continuity way to explain how that chant means coming of the chosen one or something in worlds all across the galaxy, but only if you're primitive.
See, I was kind of hoping that they'd like, when night fell, they'd all go like crazy and try to eat the clones or be like the little blue things in Galaxy Quest, you know, something like that.
God. That would have been awesome. They look like little gremlins. That's true.
That would have been a good episode. I mean, we could do zombies and the brainworm things. Let's go. If we're going to go serious on stuff, I mean, if we're going to have sharks blowing to bits in front of us, don't go cutesy 2 weeks later. That doesn't work.
Then I would have been on Wolf's side if he was, you know, grumbly and then blowing things away.
Absolutely. I mean, if it had just been like some kind of trap to get them to send food, a.k.a. clones, then that would have been awesome.
That would have been awesome. And you've seen the teeth on these. I mean, when Mantucho is doing his chanting, he got some crazy jagged teeth in there.
Dude, maybe that's next week. That would have been awesome.
They go into a room and, oh, there's all these empty clone armors. Yeah, come on.
They got teeth marks all over them. That would be better than Death Troopers and Red Harvest.
But that's not what we got. We got this.
But this was cute. It was a fun episode if it wasn't for Wolf and such. It was an odd story. And yeah, it's playing on the magic type stuff again to a degree. But it was fun. I mean, I'm the continuity guy. And even I'm sitting back and it didn't bother me that we've all of a sudden introduced two new species onto this planet that we've never heard of before. Because even the logic of, well, they were always underground, et cetera, it hurts them to go above ground. All that kind of stuff made sense. I mean, I think it's whiplash from a tone standpoint. The last couple of weeks are whiplash compared to the first three episodes, and certainly this whole season compared to the previous seasons. But, you know, I would still say this is probably one of the top two of this season so far out of the five. And granted, that's not saying a whole heck of a lot, but the goofy, like, kiddie stuff didn't bother me on this episode for some reason.
Okay, Nathan, that's not saying that it's the valedictorian of summer school. That's saying it's the salutatorian of summer school. So, you know, what I want to know, Danny, is what are your thoughts?
Don't call me Danny.
Oh, hey, no, relax.
So R2 solves the riddle. They get out. They find out that the big manhole is leaking out vapors. They close the hole. Happy, happy, joy, joy. Everybody's safe. The end.
and no one will ever know about the droid's heroics because the clones don't give a crap.
Yeah, I know. 3PO's going, I'm going to tell the story. I'm going to tell the story. And all the clones just look at him like, kind of like some parents who shall remain nameless tend to look at their teenagers after they've heard them talk entirely too much. And it's just like, I don't care what you're talking about. Shut up. I've heard you talk for the last 8 light years.
I expected Wolf to reach over and flip him off. Not flip him off, like flip the switch the way that Leia does for Han.
Like, based on your earlier comments of Fox, you probably could have met either way.
True. But no, I was thinking that he was just going to reach over and go, Kew! On 3PO. I thought that would have been a perfect end to the episode. They could have done that and then gone straight to the, and go straight into the commercials and the previews for next week that are exactly like last week's previews for this week.
No, they're going to have in the Star Wars New Hope 3D edition when Han does that, Leia looks at him. Wow, I didn't know he had one of those.
But I don't think my problem with this episode is what it was about. I think my problem with this episode is going to go back to, this is episode 5 of a season called Battle Lines, of a show called The Clone Wars. We had a few incidental clones in the first story arc. We had no clones on Naboo, and now we've got a few clones who are just in as filler, but no war. Are we still getting the same show? And why the crap call it Battle Lines?
I think the Battle Lines are those little stripey, glowy things on the Kendalo. Maybe?
Well, if you guys, like, I don't remember very well, but last season, season 3, I remember was pretty front-loaded with crummy episodes, too, and it took until probably like half the season was over before we got anything we really, really liked. Like, there were some duds last season too, and I don't know if maybe they're just putting them all up front to get them over with. I kind of hope that's the case, but like, I don't know. I'm hoping we'll get back to some clones. Usually they take that name for the season and take it off something from like the season finale or something really close to the end. So maybe there's hope that we'll find something a little bit more exciting later.
So they should say season 4, Battle Lines. But first you gotta go through all these humanitarian effort episodes.
You know, I think Jen's onto something. She's right, the past couple seasons, it's been like the season opener episode or arc that fits, and then the season closer that fits, and everything in between just leaves us scratching our heads or leaves us falling asleep in the Senate for 4 or 5 episodes. So maybe this is par for the course, and we're just being overly critical because we just had a summer of awesomeness with the micro series.
We said they're par for the course. I think that there is something to be said for the idea of par or average here. A lot of the seasons, we've got really good and really bad. So far this season, we basically got, yeah. So if anything, we're just kind of bopping along with just good enough, with average for these episodes so far this season. I don't think there really is a standout yet. There's barely even a standout moment yet. Although, you know, I am working on actually making a full version of that Jay-Z song at some point for Dooku brushing his tunic off. But for the most part, this season, it doesn't have standout good, but at the same time, it doesn't have something that's just outright crap in it either. It doesn't have its Mortis trilogy yet. So I don't know. I mean, I wonder if this is the season where things just kind of go slow and steady as the series rides off into the sunset, because we've got to be getting pretty close to finally hitting that, by the end of this season, hitting that 100 episodes that Lucas said he wanted the series to go for. I mean, if you count in the film as part of those, it's even closer to hitting 100 episodes.
Yeah, but slow and steady doesn't win the race here. I mean, this is just not the place where this show should be going. I mean, if we've talked about the demographic before, I can't imagine the 7 to 11, whatever the exact demographic is, I can't imagine an 8-year-old watching this episode and thinking, man, that's awesome. I can't wait to see this again. I'm reminded of 1985 Jerry, who's watching The Droids, Adventures of R2-D2 and C-3PO, which you can find our retrospective series at republicforces.com, watching that show thinking, man, you know, where's Vader and Luke and Leia and the Empire and Stormtrooper? Well, I occasionally get a Stormtrooper, but they're not really doing nothing. replace all that with, man, where's the clones and the battle droids and Jedi? And, you know, we all love R2-D2 and C-3PO. That's not the point. I stated that earlier. But this show just did not give us anything. It's not the droids we're looking for. It's not the show that we're looking for. And I would rank this very high, probably a notch below Mortis, and maybe par with Bombad Jedi as being a ridiculous episode. Not because of R2 and 3PO, but just because of everything else going around it and its complete irrelevance to the Star Wars universe as a whole. I don't need this.
I have issues with the closing scene, and not issues. It was just strange. The little kid one comes over and hugs R2. We have a touching moment between a little blue thing and a toaster. We're trying to personify the droids a little too much still, I think. Maybe this was the final, just another checkoff in the throwback to the droids cartoon.
Wasn't that a throwback to Return of the Jedi, though, with how the Ewoks kind of took them all in the family and didn't, weren't there Ewoks that kind of embraced R2 or 3PO? Speaking of which, I'm just glad they didn't start worshiping 3PO. That's actually what I was expecting.
That is kind of what I was expecting, too. And you're right. There was some Ewok love for R2-D2. Actually, I think it was Wicket that was hugging on him.
Yeah. Wow, there could be a song in there somewhere. But at the same time, I mean, yeah, it was cutesy. It was harkening back. I mean, in a sense, the Ewoks and the way they acted towards 3PO is a lot like the way that these characters act towards 3PO and R2-D2, of course. But, I mean, to say that, well, we're going a little too far with humanizing C-3PO and R2-D2, I mean, that whole thread of, what do they call it, anthropomorphism, where you take the droids or any other non-living or non-human characters and give them human traits. I mean, they've been doing that for so long. I mean, with the exception of the fact that they are made of metal, those two out of all droids everywhere have been personified to the point where I don't think it's even an issue anymore. I mean, unless Lucas wants to go the total opposite direction and really focus down on these are just machines and strip any real personality, real personification from them, I think that ship has sailed a long time ago, probably multiple times, like the ones in Lord of the Rings.
Now, I'll tell you, Dan, what was, you know, over personification. Did you ever see the web mockumentary R2-D2 Beneath the Dome? And it portrayed
Dude, that's on DVD.
Yeah, no, it's
that DVD.
It's part of one of the prequel. I think it was part of one of the features with Episode 2 DVD set. But oh, you know, you're right. It was that, but it did have its own release.
Yeah,
you're right. I had that too.
I forgot
all about that. But anyway, there's a bit, you know, it treats R2-D2 like he's any other actor, right? Just playing the role of R2-D2. And there's this bit where there's this girl talking. We're in love. I think we're going to get married and I might be carrying his baby. That was taking it too far.
Oh, dude, in this episode, when he pulls out his nozzle and starts shooting the water or whatever it is, we were cracking up. Because we
can't imagine why.
You go back to the original Return of the Jedi, okay, and then even through the special editions through the DVD. R2-D2 gets blasted in front of the bunker and he's wigging out and everything from having been blasted. There's this little thing that's sticking out of him that's spewing water, spewing liquid. Okay, never thought anything of it, but for some reason, Luke's apparently decided that for the Blu-ray release, he wanted to change the way R2 looked, so more stuff is sticking out of him, and whatever that was, it was firing liquid, apparently that was too suggestive, we're going to make it spew smoke now. He changed that. So having already had a conversation about that a couple of times in the last few weeks since the Blu-rays came out, now seeing R2 go psst onto something cracked me up. I was about to die. It was one of the funniest things I've seen in the Clone Wars since the series began. Not intentionally, but it was killing me.
Oh, see, I thought that was the biggest nod back to the original droid series. I mean, remember all the crap we talked about popping out of R2-D2 and where in the world did he put that? Where does he have a tank of water inside all of those electrical components? That was totally droids.
we're just really lucky it didn't have a flower on the end of it. That was my first thought when I saw that. It's like, where's the flower from Drew?
Is there anything continuity?
The only stuff really continuity-wise is that we have two new species for the planet, and we had never seen them before. But again, that's not something that's that big of a deal. We have seen plant creatures before. And of course, this is Wolf coming back after multiple appearances, and he has a new eye, and he's got the new armor, but that's something we expected to see coming sometime soon anyway. So not really, not in the grand scheme of things, no.
Really, there's nothing continuity shattering about the fact that cancels are on every planet, apparently? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, they do mention, there was one kind of cool thing. They mentioned the planet Quilura, and readers of the Republic Commando novel series will remember that that was a location from the first book in that series, Hard Contact. And there have been a couple of times where they've used Republic Commando stuff here within the Clone Wars series. This is, I think, the first time that they reached beyond the game, though, and grabbed onto something that is from the novel series. Granted, it was the novel that was a tie-in to the game right as it was coming out, not one of the later Karen Travis ones, but, you know, that is kind of a big deal to see a definitive reference to something specifically created for an EU source, but nah, beyond that, not a whole lot of stuff this time.
They just do that to get the Republic Commando nerds like Jen really excited. Then, oh, we're going to see something, and then we don't. I'm just kidding.
Exactly. No.
Hey, Fernando here. Just saw the new episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars Season 4 on Cartoon Network. And one word comes up to mind when I saw this episode and when it finished. Weird. This was really a weird episode. It was fun to watch. It's fun to watch C-3PO and R2-D2 in a little adventure. But it was a weird episode. It's, when you think of Star Wars, you, like, do not think of what just happened in the episode. But it was good. And the new Commander Wolf, or was it Commander Wolf? I don't know. Probably. He was cool. Even though there was no action, like clone and battle droid action. But it was still a fun episode to watch, and I'm pretty sure the next episode will be like more C-3PO's and R2-D2's adventures. And yeah. I'll see you later.
What I noticed about Wolf's squadron is apparently he wants everybody to know that they're his boys because they all had a little wolf stenciled into their design.
When they got the new armor, which is cool. I mean, it makes sense if Wolf is one of these, if Wolf and his men, the Wolf Pack, are one of the elite trooper groups, at least outside of, say, the Commandos of the ARC troopers. Within regular clone troopers, they are the best of the best, or some of the best of the best. It makes sense. Give them that new step forward in the armor before anybody else, or at least before we've seen it for very many others. What gets me, though, is that then makes me wonder, what mission were they going to that was going to be so awesome that they needed it, but they took the side trip here? Because certainly they didn't need that armor here. Unless they expected the little dudes to start eating them. In which case, really, does the packaging matter? You're just going to rip it open and eat it anyway.
Hey guys, this is Will, Venator 1229 on the forums, calling about the most recent episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. As far as episodes go, I didn't really like this episode. It just seemed way too, like, magical, magically themed for a Star Wars episode. Like, for one thing, I mean, the plot, I mean, it was all right, but just, I mean, relief effort just seems to be becoming a reoccurring plot in these episodes. But the things I did like about it was the clones seemed way more dark. Like, in the beginning, they just kind of were picking on C-3PO, although he is a droid, but still. I just like how they're kind of more dark-themed and more episode 3-ish, rather than kind of all kidsy episode 2-ish, in a way like that. What I really liked was when the gunships were flying down to the planet, how the clone pilot kind of looked over towards, like, that one guy up on that dragonfly-looking thing, and he's just like, oh, it's going to be another one of those planets. Like, I really like that. I had to laugh at that. And then something I wanted to address on just those weird characters, like, I'm sure you guys will explain this on the show, but just, like, what were they? Because they kind of looked like the Transformers from the Revenge of the Fallen. Actually, I was watching that movie right before the episode, and as soon as I saw those characters, I immediately thought Revenge of the Fallen. Like, do you guys have any background on those or anything? But just, yeah, you'll probably mention that in the show. And then one thing I really wanted to touch up on was, I can't remember the name of that woman that C-3PO and R2-D2 met down underground, but she really reminded me a lot of Sister from Mortis. It just seems like they kind of used the same character model in a way, but, I mean, it's just something I thought. I mean, maybe you guys thought of it, but I don't know. Well, that's all I got for you. Yeah, have a good weekend. See ya.
Maybe what they did with Orphne, I mean, I guess it is very much a similar color scheme, but of course that could just be because it's meant to be a very natural type character, you know, almost a Taoist type of, you know, connection with nature, purity and all things type of thing. Because, I mean, granted, she's made of, you know, fireflies, so being a flower child type of character would seem to make sense. But it seems very much like if they were going to do that, you would think they would have gone a little bit further, because she looks very weird and cartoony. It almost looks like she's got just like a round ovoid head, and they sort of painted on the face, and sometimes the mouth actually opens, that type of thing. It's, I don't know, if it is a connection between the two character designs, it's almost like switching out the Beckys and Roseanne. I mean, everybody notices that they're, you know, based on the same thing, but at the same time, nice. They're so different, who cares? And they're so different that, you know, the connection is pretty flimsy. I'll put it that way.
There were different Beckys and Roseanne.
My vote was Sarah Chalk. Just saying.
Hi, Republic Forces Radio Network. It's Robert Darth Akari calling in with my thoughts on the Mercy Mission episode. Well, you know what? I know there's some grumbling out there. I kind of see a little bit on some of the, you know, forums and things like that about how, you know, quality of the episode and all, but I personally really just kind of loved it. I mean, I think mostly it's because I have such a soft spot in my heart for R2 and 3PO. It's just great to see them, you know, they seem more Star Wars to me than most of the other characters in the prequels do. Just want to take a moment out to mention my thoughts about Commander Wolf. How interesting is it, and another Baron's going to kind of agree with me on this one, but Wolf seems far more imperial than most of our clone troops have been up until now. I mean, like, his whole attitude towards the Illumin race there was kind of like, shut up, we're here, we're going to do what we want, we know what's best for you, blah, 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 get out of our way. You know, it was a mercy mission, but he really didn't seem like he was enjoying himself all that much. Also thought it was kind of amusing, the fact is that as the takeaway line from this, you know, the, oh, it's going to be another one of those planets line, how it kind of changed which clone was actually saying it. I was kind of surprised it actually came from the pilot, you know, in the opening part of the scene. I did enjoy the fact that, you know, it showed a reason for 3PO to be there, with him having to translate for the Illumins there. And just in case anybody forgot, they did appear in the prequels. That was Rath's Tyrell's race. For some reason, a lot of folks seem to forget that they're actually a real Episode 1 race of critters, which we're still waiting on a Rath's Tyrell figure, but who knows, maybe he's coming with the upcoming vintage line. One little takeaway I have also is with the, you know, when R2 and 3PO end up in the underground chamber, I realize that some folks are going to say, well, how come everybody in the underground spoke basic? But the way I kind of interpreted it is basically, at that point, you didn't have to have 3PO translating for anybody. And since he probably could understand just about anything anyway, why bother with going through the whole, you know, interpret back and forth? So I was sort of just feeling that what we're seeing down there was taken from his point of view, which, you know, which worked. I mean, I didn't need to have, you know, back and forth of whatever the random dialogue is. Not entirely sure about how I felt about the whole riddle of the Sphinx thing for how they got out of there, but, you know, it was kind of neat. They are going for they're sort of adding the mysticism back into Star Wars, which, you know, in a way is a good thing. I mean, when you think back of the original trilogy, the Force was far more of a magical, mystical element. And, you know, as we've gone through the more recent expanded universe and the of course, the prequels where we downgraded the Force to the offshoot of midichlorians, we've kind of taken the whole spiritual, magical element out of Star Wars. I'm kind of happy to see it coming back in. I mean, not that I want to see, you know, them go in some of the random crazy directions that we saw in the Marvel comics, but still a little bit, I think, goes a long way for adding a little more, you know, expanding the possibilities of what could be out there. So, but just a few thoughts, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm actually surprised this is a two-parter. Maybe it's a three-parter, I don't know. But I could tell as it was going along, I was like, wait a minute, these scenes don't seem to match up with some of the previews I've already seen. So, well, we'll see how their eventual quest to get back to the rest of the Republic goes. But, all right, I'll call you next week with my thoughts on the next one. Have a great one, guys. Bye.
He's right, and I like that we're seeing... I mean, Nathan, you didn't like how Wolf was portrayed, but I like that we're seeing that not all the clones are soft and cuddly, kind of like Rex is, where deep down you wonder, well, how could they go through with Order 66? This guy, Order 66 comes through, he's opening fire on his mom, anybody. So, yeah, I'm totally get this guy.
Yeah, I'm firing on these Jedis because they own droids like this.
Nice. Well, you know, two things pop to mind from this voicemail. One, okay, if that is a conscious decision that they're doing with Commander Wolf to make him more Imperial, to make Order 66 make a lot more sense as far as the clones' actions, I am totally in on it. I'm like, yes, that's great, and I take back everything I said about the characterization of Wolf here. But only if that was intentional. If that's us just reading into because he's a jerk, well, I guess he's probably heading towards that Imperial version of Stormtroopers, then he's still too big of a jerk in the episode. But if it's actually on purpose, and we got to give Filoni and them credit if it is, then I'll go with it. Of course, we'll never know, because they took off the little video clips with Filoni talking about the episodes, and the episode guides are basically gone. So kudos to them if that was on purpose, and I take it back. If not, yeah, he was still too bad. The second thing that pops to mind as far as this idea of more mysticism, I actually kind of like that. Maybe that's why I didn't have as big a problem with the episode. I thought it was decent. Why I didn't have a big problem with the little necklace that controls minds and stuff in the last episode. Because I was one of those who was concerned for a while. I mean, I guess this is back, I don't know, 99, 2000-ish. Because Star Wars, A, it had gone from the classic era into the prequel era. And the stories were much more about darkness and tragedy and warfare than it was about, you know, the fun fantasy stuff that had made the classic trilogy so great. And at the same time, we were moving in books into Clone Wars era books. Eventually, by 2002, we wind up going into the New Jedi Order, which then goes into Legacy of the Force, which then goes into Fate of the Jedi. And a lot of the Star Wars stuff was becoming much more hard sci-fi than it was that blending of sci-fi and fantasy that had made it so fun in the first place. So I do like that, yes, we seem to be getting back to that sometimes. Sometimes they go a little bit overboard with it, but it is at least getting back to sort of the fantasy element that has been really gone from Star Wars in a lot of ways. But you got to be careful when you start adding in fantasy elements, because you don't want it to go so far that it makes it seem out of place. Because even the Star Wars films, the mysticism was usually confined to the Jedi, as opposed to all the other characters. Even when the other characters said, you know, may the Force be with you, it seemed much more like they were saying it just to, it'd be like going up to someone who is Christian, if one is not Christian, saying, you know, God be with you, or peace be with you, or something like that. It's as if they were speaking to the sensibilities of the person that they were speaking to, not from their own philosophical or theological perspective. So you gotta be careful with it, but, yeah, I mean, it's adding the fun back into it. It's adding the fantasy goofiness back into it. And that sometimes is certainly very welcome, especially if this season turns into a huge battle season and this becomes our reprieve from constant warfare and darkness, if the series goes that way.
The only thing that worries me is, what if they're not doing this on purpose? I would love to think that, yes, deep down, like Robert said, the reason that everybody in the underground spoke basic is because now we're from their point of view. Yes, the reason Wolf and his clones are a little bit jerkier is because it's showing that they're going the way that's Imperial. I would love to think they are actually thinking this far through. I'm afraid that they're not. This is all just accident because we're a bunch of nerds who sit around and overthink cartoons that we're reading that's into it and giving them much more credit than they deserve. But that may be being negative and burned after five episodes of Clone Wars that don't involve clones and barely involve war.
But that's why I'm saying I'm not sure if they did it intentionally with Wolf and why I have a hard time believing that that might be the case. I'd love for this to be, again, they're planning out an entire season ahead of time. But so far, evidence seems pretty much to be to the contrary from the last three seasons, and that's disappointing.
Hi, this is Glenn, this is on the forum, calling in about Mercy Mansion, which is an episode title that I still haven't quite figured out. Didn't really say a mansion. But I don't know, I definitely, there was an agreement last week with the panel that we didn't have high hopes for this week, but this week certainly doesn't exceed expectations. I don't know if I really go as far as to say it's outstanding, but certainly I think maybe the most outstanding episode this season. I don't know if it really deserves to be called outstanding, though. I really like this episode. You know, it worked well. It had this sort of, you know, made good use of C-3PO as a translator and R2-D2 as an astromech. You know, I mean, it sort of used all the characters, you know, in the right way. We had some great voice work by our normal cast members doing some different voices. Dee Bradley Baker doing the tree people and James Earl Taylor doing being the king. Had a returning bit part person who had done Sue and done Dr. Ball with the orphany person. She did a great job as that character. I really like that character and her appearance and her sort of, I guess, her sort of acting like, I guess, sort of like the Riddler. But really like that and sort of how that little contraption worked to do some back to the stealing. I really liked most of the things about this episode. I think, you know, sort of we were sort of misled by the trailer that was sort of for this week's episode and I guess next week's episode. It sort of made it confusing, I guess. Maybe I have really low hopes for next week, especially having watched the sort of preview clip on StarWars.com. But really like this week. Really the only thing that I would have as a complaint is really about this episode, but the fact that we've had now five episodes and they've all dealt with planets that have two sentient species on them, I guess, you know, and sort of a conflict or non-conflict between them. Would like to see that sort of, that's getting a little bit old. Like to see just one sentient species to a planet, you know. You know, the voice works great. The animation is still fantastic. And hopefully we'll get into some more battles, I guess, in a couple weeks. And that certainly could have happened next week. But keep up the work, good work. I'm sure Dave Filoni and crew will continue to keep up the great work that they're doing. Bye.
You know, it's an interesting point about the dual species on every planet we've been to this season so far. I mean, you had, you know, Mon Cal, Naboo, and now this planet. It's like, are we going to see, like, we got these little people that take over R2 and 3PO on the next planet. What's the species of giants that's going to rescue them? I mean, is there really, and we talked this last week, is there really this weird theme of every planet in the Republic that is under threat of being either taken over or influenced by the Separatists has these, this double-minded nature of sorts with the different factions? I mean, it's just, it's weird and it's getting old. It's obvious. And it's just like, what are you guys doing? I mean, you had nothing else in the bank for this season. This is weird. I mean, this is going to take us. This is five episodes, guys. We're almost a quarter of the way through this season already. Really?
Yeah, I said that. I think at the end of the Mon Cal trilogy, where if this is what battle lines means, we all thought battle lines. This is we're going to see great wars. if Battle Lines is every single planet has two races that have an issue and it needs to be resolved, this is going to get old. I mean, it's old after 5 episodes. I don't want to see this 17 more episodes. I mean, I know we've got cool stuff like Death Watch coming, and maybe we'll get to see what happens if Savage finds Darth Maul. But
even Death Watch is two factions of a planet.
Exactly. Exactly. So this is...
Or a planet on a subsidiary moon.
I think we're being a little bit too harsh on the season, though, because there have been some just as bad runs in other seasons, and maybe just happened to be at the start of this one. So I'm sure there's going to be better stuff coming along. I don't think it's going to be every episode is some sort of issue where they have to have a relief effort, but I do agree this is not a good start to the season as much as some of the others. Even if, like, I wish at least the premiere episode had been a little bit stronger, because that would have made this a little bit easier to bear. But right now, it's just, I can't wait till the next one's over so we can maybe see something more exciting.
I honestly think that they thought the first few episodes were going to be extremely exciting. I mean, they pumped up the whole water war angle for Mon Cala or Dak or Mon Calamari or whatever a lot in the lead up. Maybe not as much as they pumped up some of the previous season starters, but they did pump it up quite a bit. And they were playing the clips and all that kind of stuff, talking about how they're doing stuff that hadn't been done before. And, oh, look, it's Akbar. I think they honestly thought that what they had here was another startling butt-kicker of an opener like they had with Clone Cadets and ARC Troopers. And they didn't. But I don't think anybody behind the scenes really realized that at the time.
Yeah, I think that they were really banking on the nostalgia factor of everybody's going to remember this from being so awesome in the micro series. Now we're going to give them not 5 minutes of it. We're going to give them an hour and a half of it. It's going to be great. When I'm sure a good portion of that is because they knew we were covering it. So, of course, they knew we were going to get people excited. Yeah, I'm kidding. But I really think they went in such a different direction with it that even banking on or even having that factor of the micro series touched on this, and oh, we've got Akbar back, still fizzle fried. All right. We are still going to be hanging out with C-3PO and R2-D2 next week.
The thing about next week's episode, the previews have not made me want to watch this show at all. Again, I just feel like this is R2 and C-3PO's wacky adventure, take two with another little species. They're a micro species this time. I don't think there's going to be a big deal with the whole Gulliver's travel thing. I don't think, just like Prince and the Pauper, that part doesn't bother me. But what bothers me is, oh dear God, this is going to be another episode that'll have nothing to do with the clones, nothing to do with the Clone Wars, with just... Is this the droids homage? I mean, I know we made it cool to think about droids again, but there's a reason the show didn't work very well, guys. I mean, it's good for nostalgia's sake, but can we move this season to where it's really supposed to be going, if it's going anywhere?
I got nothing. I really don't have a lot. Like, I was kind of just had my head in my hands for this preview because it's just more of the same stuff. I don't mind R2 and 3PO together, but I think we discussed this in the droids series, is 3PO and R2 can't really carry their own episode entirely well. I feel like they need to have some of the other characters in there, even if it's just the clones doing stuff, and they can have like a little side story and do something silly on the side, but having the whole episode be about them, I feel like it really hurts the story, and it's hard to keep your attention, and I don't really want to see another one of those. I don't know. Maybe it'll be good. I don't know. Maybe it'll be funny. But I'm not really feeling next week.
I think we're back to the problem, like Jen said, of the droids cartoon. I mean, people tuned in to see Star Wars, and yes, the title was Droids, but you were hoping to see something else. And like Jerry said earlier, all we got was the occasional Stormtrooper, R2-D2, C-3PO, and nobody else that we knew. Yes, we all know that Star Wars is supposed to be the story of the droids. It's all told from the droids' perspective, even though things happen that they weren't there for, so how do they know? Anyway, that doesn't matter. Nobody has gone to see all 6 of these movies. Nobody is sitting through this cartoon series now to see what in the heck R2-D2 and C-3PO are doing. I think somebody's not quite getting that message that they are not the selling point for, or maybe they're really just going for the nostalgia thing. It's just, it baffles me.
I like the fact that we are getting some episodes based around characters that usually got short shrift in just about everything else. I mean, C-3PO and R2-D2 don't work very well in novels, and often not even in comics. R2-D2 doesn't speak. I mean, he bleeps and he bloops. So it's one of those things, you really need the visual kinetic motion of these characters to be able to do much with them that's actually going to work in a way that most audiences are going to be able to go with. I'll be honest, a lot of times when I'm reading the Star Wars novels, when R2-D2 is bleeping and blooping, I'm just skimming past whatever that portion is and just waiting for somebody else to speak so I know what in the heck R2-D2 just said. So, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense within the span of a Clone Wars cartoon series to spend much time with the droids, but for a Star Wars cartoon series, it makes perfect sense to spend time with C-3PO and R2-D2. I'm wondering if the disconnect is that they've started to think of this specifically as just a Star Wars cartoon series and not as the Clone Wars. They've done so much with the battles of the war itself and that era that they're trying to go different directions to give us something new to see on the screen. And in this case, we got the droids for this week and at least for next week. You know, and I'm still thrilled at the idea of seeing that sequence that reminds me of the old cover from the Constantia affair when they put it out through KB Toys. I love the idea of them in zero G because, you know, it's one of those iconic images from the early comics. But I think I've said that about 8 times now, so I'm sure everybody knows what to look for with that.
Yes, I seem to remember you mentioning that once or twice. All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to join us, and thank Jen, Jerry, and Nathan for joining me, and we will see you all back next week to discuss Nomad Droids.
See you, Dan.
See you next time.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Republic Forces Radio Network. Remember, we want your thoughts on the next episode of the Clone Wars series. You can leave us a voicemail at 415-508-JEDI every week from the time the new episode airs, and voicemails received by 1 a.m. Sunday morning may be included in our next episode. You can find our reviews of previous Clone Wars episodes, as well as our summer series reviewing the classic droid cartoon series, at our website, www.republicforces.com. And be sure to listen to our other Star Wars podcast, Star Wars Action News, covering all aspects of Star Wars collecting, from figures to high-end collectibles to Star Wars Band-Aids. Republic Forces Radio Network is hosted by Jerry, Arnie, Dan, Jen, Berent, and Nathan P. Butler of StarWarsFanWorks.com. Republic Forces Radio Network, RepublicForces.com, and Star Wars Action News are not affiliated with Lucasfilm or any other official Star Wars-related company. Star Wars and all that the Star Wars universe contains are copyright and trademarked, Lucasfilm Limited, and no infringement is intended. Republic Forces Radio Network is a production of Venganza Media Incorporated, copyright 2011, all rights reserved.
He was rounding up his daughter.
Hey.
There he is. I see what you did there. That's great. Rounding up Jerry's kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I've never heard that one before.
Yeah, exactly. He's never heard it.
Got me there.
Shut up.
Kind of like Jerry. Oh, I get it.
What? I just took
a minute. You make that joke these days to young people because they wouldn't know what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, today's my...
I don't know what the hell you're talking about either, so...
The Jerry Lewis Labor Day...
Telethon?
Best telethon for... Serious?
No.
Wow.
I suck.
No, wait, Jen. They do those to this day.
Yeah, they still do it.
I don't think Jerry Lewis is on
TV. Nobody watches PBS anymore.
Yeah, you wonder who's talking about the other one harder behind the other one's back. Because you know they're blaming each other for it.
Well, I don't even think it's behind each other's back. I think Filoni just pulls that hat down so you can't see his lips.
The hat.
well, he took my vision. He messed it all up.
Sorry, I was telling me that it's time to take my migraine preventative, which I already did.
I was going to say, don't you normally do that, like, right before we start the show?
Well, I normally do it at 10, but I do it because it's giving.
Dan's calling, dear God, where's my medicine?
Nah, not that kind of preventative. That's what alcohol's, I mean.
That's, I was going to say, that's when Jen breaks out the shots, so. Once again, going back to your appliance.
Gotcha again.
Going back to your appliance scenario, I do not need the approval or disapproval of my alarm clock or my ice maker to conceive children.
Yes, but I'm assuming you turn off your webcam. Or at least, God, I hope you do.
Wow. Yeah,
again. Nice. Hey, I was a salutatorian in high school, my friend.
Was it during the summer?
No, it wasn't during the summer, so I guess.
Irrelevant. Move on.
Dan, he called me irrelevant.
At least he didn't call you his brother-in-law.
So, Dan, hey.
But then how would you know how the cute little people were saved from the big creepy
people? Oh, shut up,
people?
Shut up, okay. Shut up. And apparently one of them... You know, there's a mother and some kids there who are probably still mourning over the loss of their father in the episode one pod race.
Apparently,
wow.
Apparently, you are unfamiliar with the fact that in the Star Wars universe, they do not refer to it as water cooler discussions, but as astromech discussions.
You know what? You got me last week. You're not going to get me anymore.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, nice try, dude.
I know. I'm
just glad since they went with that, they didn't like I can't even think of what they're called now. But, you know, the New Year's noise blower thing like they did in Droid. I'm glad they didn't do that like at the end of the episode.
Or that they didn't make the liquid yellow.
Well, that's the given. I wasn't going to go there anymore. I was going to walk away from that and not go back.
Actually, I'm just glad it wasn't that green tea from Mandalore. Because that would have, like, melted the planet.
You know why it would have melted? Because of corruption.
No. Say it again. Corruption.
Corruption.
All right, enough of the corruption. Dan?
Corruption has a minty flavor.
But let me clear up one big misconception. I can understand how we might not know that this is Commander Wolf in the episode. I was under the impression, looking at the credits, that this was Commander Assface.
What?
Okay, cut that one. Do we have any actual responses? Hate that man. It reminds me of the old thing with Dennis Miller. He was like, hey, do you hear that, Assface? Get it through your Assface head, Assface. That's basically now sounding like Jen, so.
Yeah, I hated that season he did Monday Night Football.
Oh, don't say that. I mean, we got the packaging guy on the line. He'll tell you that packaging is important, even if you are just going to eat it.
I can't believe you just said that. Packaging matters, man.
I'm just saying for food, man. I don't pay attention for food.
But we pay attention, and that's why you get good food. Okay. I don't care. Go on.
I learned it by watching you.
You are right. I threw it away because of you.
Whatever. Everybody loved that line. Shut up. I can't believe we just made a Roseanne reference.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. This show's really gone downhill.
It was just like the episode where... Arnold goes to the bike shop.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, God.
No, actually, I'm really? Sorry. It was really? Nothing what, like that at all. Never mind. Sorry. Wow. Where did I pull that up?
Is it because that's how it made your brain feel like it was being molested? I don't understand how... Anyway. That was one thing I had with that voicemail. I disagree. I don't think that... though the Kandalu looked anything like the twins from Revenge of the Fallen. So
wait a minute, the twins?
Primes, I think she said.
I know. It was just a joke.
Oh,
because
dude, I'm sorry. I thought you were trying to steer the ship back. Sorry.
I hate the twins, and they must die.
I love that this episode is so horrible that we cannot keep our minds.
Oh my gosh, we can't.
Well, you know.
We got to stay hopeful though, because who knows how many seasons we got left to go.
103.
And that's really what the episode is called, Nomad Droids.
Yes, yes, it is.
Well, why were the droids mad? What were they angry about?
Yes, that's right. Not mad
was
droids.
It,
I don't understand.
What's that unit of measurement, a monad? Is it monad? M-O-N-A-D?
Maybe if they didn't have to hang out with Commander Wolf, they wouldn't be so mad.
Why wouldn't you just call it sane droids instead of nomad droids? I
don't... Yeah.
Wow. Maybe, no, it's,
hey,
it's gonna
I'm
be
not
the,
stupid.
The bartender says, it's, you know, instead of saying, like, we don't serve droids and no blasters, he combines it now into just nomad droids. Nomad droids!
Boy.
Unless mad droids is like the Star Wars version of hemorrhoids.
Mad droid disease?
Mad droid disease, there you go.
I just want to sum up these episodes with one word. Suck! Yeah, I mean, this series is just a big old pile of suck. That's all I can say.
Oh, man. Can you feel the love tonight?
Now tune into the Mother Crippin' Greatest! Turn the music up on that Astro Man! Can't even go watch your tunic off, Dooku! I got you! Yeah! If you're feeling like a pimp, Dooku, go on, brush your tunic off! Sit just as pimp, too, go on, brush your tunic off! Simple as crazy nanny, don't forget that pad we told you, get back! I turn off the tunic, I throw it over to chin! My Padawan in the Force, made me question some things! Give him all the force, feeling no remorse, picking up this burning course. Let the temple to the fools, brought him out of their walls. To the subways they love me, dressed with Palpatine screaming. Mind your atoms so deadly, they like the way I be beating. All the Jedi be hating, the Clone Wars we be making. The Confederates love to see the path that we're taking. From a master of Jedi to a lord of the Sith. So when you know me, know I'm wearing the black. See those 20s back, you cast a newbie watching your back. I kill Jedi punks, Yoda, cause your rules are so whack. If you're feeling like a pimp, Dooku, go on, brush your tunic down. Sit just as pimp, too, go on, brush your tunic down. Sit bones as crazy, Annie, don't forget that Padme told you get back. Turn off your tunic, you gotta get back. Turn off your tunic, you gotta get back. Was hanging on Kamino with clones, and we witnessed some truths. Mandalorian brothers trying to kickstart a war. Found a city as this is, and it won't break a charm. Because chaos is my business, and after 501st clones roll out to face battle, Max and Anakin's love won out. Them two are having sex, now what is that all about? You should ask Rex in case 501st caught them out. Dooku is just an old ex-Jedi now. He's giving up on the dream of serving the Force. Now he's making him scream. Jedi Knights with his lightsaber beam. No mercy for clones, he's a saint of the real. If you beat him like a pimp, Dooku, go on, brush your tunic down. Sit just as pimp, too, go on, brush your tunic down. Sit bones as crazy, Annie, don't forget that Padme told you get back. Turn off your tunic, you gotta 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 get back. In the Republic, they've been talking a truce. Padme and Anaconda always playing it loose. Got a plan and they ruin it over kids' tea and juice. Corruption, Senate murders, viewers taking a snooze. Got that tack, droid, my super battle droid. And got the best in real life, Grievous half a droid. From strong to weak, Gendy to baloney.
solve another mess in a day. Lucas changes stuff, what can you say? You was doing with the hand, power's juggling again. See, that's a dilemma to me. Could you brush it off for me? If you're feeling like a pimp, Dooku, go and brush it to the ground. Sit just as pimp, too, go and brush it to the ground. Sit both as crazy, Annie, don't forget that Patty told you get that. Turn up your tune, you gotta get that, that. Turn up your tune, you gotta get that, that. Turn up your tune, you gotta get that, that. Turn up your tune, you gotta get that, that. Turn up your tune. Now tune to the mother-crippin' greatest.